You're listening to audio from North Monroe Baptist Church. To find out more about the church or donate to this ministry, visit northmonroe.com.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to North Monroe. We had a great year in the life of our church. Incredible. Incredible. I love this church. And man, as we look to 2019, we can only... I can't even begin to graze the surface on imagining what God could do in this next year. I'm so excited. Hope you are too. Hope you had a great year. I know there was a lot of joys and a lot of sorrows. Some of those we know specifically, and some of those we don't. And so as we look to 2019 this year, we're going to look with hope this morning. We had a great year in my family. For 2018, a lot of great things happened. One of the great things that happened this year was we learned for the very first time how to ride bikes without training wheels, me included. And no, I'm just kidding. We have three little ones, Kaylee, Whitley, and Watson. And Kaylee and Whitley decided it was time to take the training wheels off. And so earlier this fall, we got out there and took them off. And you know, this is a big moment as a parent. You think the worst is about to happen, right? And I had 911 ready to go. We left the car running just in case. You see the picture here? What we failed to do was put the helmet on, you know, and knee pads. But hey, it's middle of the road, whatever. Our street's not too busy. And so we get out there and it's you know, that process of learning. I'm running behind them, you know, and kind of holding them up, and they're bouncing back and forth until they finally get their balance, and then, you know, they get that momentum, and there's that point where you're still running with them, but you're like, well, right there in the picture, like right there with them, and then all of a sudden, as a dad, you just you kind of ease back and stop, and you just get to watch and see if the worst is really about to happen, right? And we caught this picture. Christina got her phone out and caught this picture. This is Whitley, our middle child. And I'm so glad she did. It's priceless. The picture is worth 1,000 words. And she took off, and, you know, I'm just standing there going, and I can hear her screaming. You know, what you can't see in the picture is her going, ah, you know. And I'm going, oh, man, she's got it. She's got it. And you see on her face, what stands out to me in this picture is on her face, the joy of realizing in that moment, she was not worried about anything else. She wasn't worried about what she was going to get for Christmas. She wasn't worried about anything at school. All you can see and feel is the joy inside of her heart because she is figuring this thing out for the very first time. And there's just joy just all over there. And I thought, how much joy and happiness that brings in my heart, just to ask her dad to see, just to look at that picture and to go, man, this is awesome. This is awesome. And there are times in the Bible where we'll use these illustrations and say, you know, if this father is like this, then how much more will God be like this, right? And I thought this week, you know, as excited and joyful as I was for little Whitley riding that bicycle, how much more is God overly, just awesomely, recklessly loving, well, overwhelmingly loving towards us when we finally get it? And we're not worried about the rest of the world, but we get this joy inside of us because we finally, maybe for the first time, took the training wheels off of whatever it is going on in life. We tried something new. We took a chance. We took a step of faith. And we got to experience that taste of joy for the very first. How much more? If that's me, how much more than God is God? And I think for 2019, this year, this is what God wants for your life. He wants to look down on you and go, look at this. Man, isn't this awesome? This is what it's all about right here. They took a chance. They were kind of spinning their wheels there. You know, they had the training wheels on for a long time. They took a chance, and now look at them. Look at them. We rode bikes yesterday all around the neighborhood. She actually took off, and I couldn't catch up to her. And, you know, that was another scary moment. They get around the corner, and you're like, oh, well, who knows what's happening now, you know. But God, man, He wants this. He wants joy in your life as you follow Him. And wouldn't it be awesome if we took some of these training wheels off and started feeling that? There's an old theologian guy, Jonathan Edwards. He's long gone. One year he wrote a list of resolutions. And if you ever get a chance, Google it, look them up. There's a bunch of good ones in there. Some of them don't make a whole lot of sense to me, but they're a bunch of good ones. Number 17 said this, resolved that I will live so as I shall wish I had done when I had come to die. Every day, I'm resolved. I'm going to live like it's the last there, right? Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Now, are you picking up there? Prisoner, literally, he's a prisoner for the Lord. He's urging you and me and the church at that time to live in a manner that is worthy of the calling that's been placed on our lives, which means take the training wheels off. Take a chance here. Don't just settle for where you are now. Take a chance and let's move this thing forward. I'm going to take you to Proverbs this morning, chapter 4. Proverbs 4, and we're going to look at 20 through 27. I love this chapter. I've been reading through it, one proverb a day. The past month or so earlier this month, I came across this and wanted to share it with you. This chapter, I would call it a father's instruction. I think that's what we can learn from it this morning, because Solomon, who wrote a lot of the Proverbs here, he's writing to us, he's saying, as a father to his son, my son, listen up here. And he's got a couple of sections here about, listen up, here's what I want you to know. This is a wisdom I want to pass down to you. He even gets to the point where he says, when I was a son with my father. And if you trace that back, you know, King David was Solomon's father. And we have a lot of stories of David, of all the joys and sorrows and mess ups and victories that David had. And he took all those and he was passing those down to Solomon to say, here, you need to follow this way. And then Solomon, he had all kind of experience. There was at one point Solomon had everything you could possibly ask for, and if he didn't have it, he could ask for it. And here he is as an old man passing down wisdom to his son that was written down, that we too could sit here this morning, read this together, and we could learn from it. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 says this, my son, pay attention to my words. Listen closely to my sayings. Don't lose sight of them. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for this is the source, or it is the source of life. Don't let your mouth speak dishonestly, and don't let your lips talk deviously. Let your eyes gaze look forward. Fix your gaze straight ahead. Carefully consider the path for your feet, and all your ways will be established. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Keep your feet away from evil. Here's our word for us this morning. And listen up. If there's anything for 2019 that a father would want to tell his kids from this passage, I got two things. And the first one here is verse 23, guard your heart above all else. You know, we don't take care of ourselves very good, do we? Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. And when I say guard your heart, I'm not talking about this kind of new movement of I'm going to push out all negativity and I'm going to surround myself with positive people and I'm going to, you know, there's a place for some of that, I think. But when he says guard your heart, I don't think that's what he's talking about. You can't avoid people. You can't push out every negative person in your life. You work with them. You may live with them. And don't let it be known this morning that you do live with that negative person. Let that pass. You can talk about that later. You can't avoid. You can't just go out into the country and just get away from people. That's just impossible now, right? And so there's got to be more to this than that. You guard what you love by protecting it. and maybe finding something more durable than what it is and putting that thing inside of it, right? You guard it. You got to get something else to put around it to guard what you love there and guard it from the outside factors. For instance, Monroe, we're a city that has a river flowing through it. When the river gets high, we pull up those floodgates, right? We don't want the river to go outside of the banks. That would cause damage. Or your computers at home, you probably have some kind of software that is protective of it to keep it from crashing on you because it's got valuable information inside of it, right? You drink orange juice, if for nothing else than to protect you from all the things that could be floating around, even in this room, right? And so, you know, we do a lot of things to protect ourselves. And yet, when he says, guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life, then if we're ever going to have joy, it's going to have to start by protecting the source of it, right? The source of our life. And yet, if you survey our culture today, and you don't have to look too far, I don't even think you have to talk to people. You just look around and kind of read people's faces, maybe get out in the mall or something and just people watch, which is kind of fun. Come back with a lot of stories on those. But if you were to do that, you would notice that I think just observing from a distance, it's hard to find the face of joy, you know, like we saw earlier in Whitley. It's hard to see that people are just excited anymore, you know. And I think, what in the world's going on? Why are we so worn out, especially this season? Why are we so worn out and drained by all these things going on? And maybe it's because the reason we're drained is that we have not guarded our heart, as we're instructed this morning. The reason we're drained, we hadn't guarded our heart. Proverbs 12:25 says this: anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down. I don't know if you know, in our young adults and teens and college students, there's a growing problem of anxiety and depression. And it's only getting worse, and we hadn't found the solution to it. We know some factors that are contributing to it, but we don't know the solution. There's a guy named Tim Elmore. He's a kind of a leading researcher on this, and spent a lot of time with millennials and all the generations below it, and spends time, you know, just talking with teens and getting a feel for, you know, where they are emotionally and spiritually. He said in 2015, 3 million teens from age 12 to 17 had one major depressive episode in the year. Students reported feeling overwhelmed. So this isn't a fearful, you know, depression kind of thing. This is just an overwhelming. And he also quoted this guy, Dr. Lehi, who said, teens today have the same level of anxiety as a psychiatric patient did in the 1950s. So what used to be the exception or a major cause for concern in one's life is now becoming so normal. And we've got to figure this thing out. And if you're a parent of teenagers or young adults, or if you're a grandparent or if you work in the life of teens, are you aware of this? I think you probably have seen it at one point or another. If not, I would encourage you to have a conversation with your teen or your young adult and just ask them, do you think this is a real thing? And that I would guess that they would probably say, yes, it is. No matter where you go, it's a real thing. This anxiety and depression among our young adults. And these are people that are moving into adulthood. And if we don't find a solution for that, we're going to have a lot of decision-making leading adults that are anxious and depressed. We've got to figure out a way to get through this. So what is it? What are some things that are draining us? We could be here for the rest of the day answering this question. I want to give you three, okay? And then maybe we'll talk later and we'll figure out a few more. And there's a lot. There's so many factors in this. But here's three big ones. One of them, or the first one, is comparison. I think comparison makes us, it drains our hearts. It steals the joy. It gives us anxiety. When we look around at the world, when we look around at social media, when we look around at other people and we see their life, and we know what our life is like, and we know that my reality is not like their, what it is perceived to be their reality, and it's creating envy in our hearts. I want what they have. What I have isn't enough anymore. And guys, this is not just the game that the girls play. This is our game too. It doesn't take much, right? As a hunter, all I got to do is see your picture on Facebook. And I'm like, all right, I got to get back out there, you know. I got to catch up to him. All you got to do is your team loses, and it's hard to recover from that. Because that meant another team won, right? And the list goes on and on. We compare ourselves in a lot of different ways, and we think I'm better than these guys, but then again, I'm still not as good as these guys, and I've got to be at the top, so let's get to work on this. And it's absolutely draining. If you're trapped in comparison, your focus is probably on the wrong thing. We have a tendency to look horizontally and just around at the world and go, okay, I see this and this, and you know, Pinterest has probably created this too, of all these beautiful things that we could be doing, right? And yet, it never really provides a solution for us. It just keeps us looking to the next thing and down the road. Whereas we should, instead of looking horizontally, maybe we should turn our gaze vertically and continue to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, right? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The perfect example is Jesus. And yet so many times we look around at the world around us and we want what they have, and what I have is just not enough. Comparison is a dangerous game to play, and it will only drain you. The second thing is idolatry. And I have not been to anybody's house, so I'm not calling anybody out. I don't know anybody that has the shrine to whatever unknown, you know, God you've created. That's not what I'm talking about here. Idolatry is much more subtle today. It's things that we hold on to that if I were to lose them, it's going to be detrimental. I mean, it will crush me. And if God were to take this away from me, I will not follow him. Idolatry. It's things that we hold on to way too tightly. So what is it? What is that one thing in your life that if God were to change or remove it from you, you'd be out? You're going, I'm done with this game. I can't handle that. Could it be that some of us are holding on to the past a little too tightly? That we had our glory days, we think, are now behind us. And we don't see any hope in the future of anything getting better, or at least like it was then. Are we holding on to the past? Are we holding on to our success at work too tightly? That if I were to not make the numbers, or if I were to, especially if I were to lose this job, what in the world? Now, that's a valid concern. You lose, you know, something like that, there's a lot to be concerned about. But are we holding on to it so tightly that we would not be able to move beyond that? We would not be able to continue to trust the Lord in all that he can do for us. Is it our health? Is it our beauty? These things are fine by themselves, but when you pursue them beyond the purposes of God, they are taking the place that they are not able to withstand the weight of that. And God, in his temple, has room for only himself. And he doesn't want anything else in there. He wants all of your heart. There's a guy, J.I. Packer, he wrote this: still he seeks the fellowship of his people and sends them both joys and sorrows in order to detach their love from other things and attach it to himself. He wants your whole heart. And so if we have anything in there that we might not call it an idol, but we know we're holding on to it, and we will make sacrifices to it if we can keep it, and maybe we need to hand those over. The last thing here, like I said, the list goes on and on, but here's another good one, or bad one, I guess you could say. Busyness. We are a generation and a people that has become addicted to being busy. We're multitasking all the time. And technology has made so many advances in our world that we're able to get a lot of stuff done. But we've become trapped in busyness and just, I've got to be doing something. If I'm not doing something, then I'm feeling off here. And I'm feeling like anxious, some people. And so what we'll do is, we have a list of a lot of short-term tasks, and there's nothing wrong with creating lists. Create your lists. Knock them off. Knock things off your list. But what we'll do is create a list of a lot of short-term tasks, and every time that we check one of those off, our brains are releasing a shot of dopamine that makes us feel valued and good and like we're contributing to the world. And if we're not checking something off the list, and we don't get that shot, that hit, that high, then we know something's wrong, or we feel like something's wrong in us. When was the last time that we actually just put the list away and had nothing to do? I mean, took a vacation with nothing to do. It's hard to do now. And I mean, it would take more than a week to kind of recover from that, right? And busyness is really controlling us now. We think if I'm busy, I'm in control of my life. And we're deceived. We think we don't have time to help other people or to do anything outside of that list because we're so busy. We need to be careful there. Here's what I've come to learn. You will protect what you love and value. You're going to guard it with everything that you have, what you love. And so maybe if we follow that thought there, maybe we need to love and protect our hearts a little more. And I'm not, don't follow me too far and go, you know, I push the whole world out and I got to just love myself right now. There are times for that. But do you love yourself enough to protect your heart and guard your heart there? You know how I know that you will protect what you love and value? Anybody got an iPhone in here? Can I see it? You got your phones? Let me see your phone. All right, turn them off. Pay attention. Just kidding. Now, okay, I saw a few. Y'all didn't want to show them to me because you know you're not supposed to. Whatever. But now, the ones I did see, every one of them had, I think I had a protective case, except for the college students down here. They don't have the money to buy a protective case for it, so they just taking that chance. But every one of them has some kind of protective case. I put one here on my iPad because you know that your phone is not durable enough to withstand the everyday life, right? So all it takes is one drop on the concrete and you crack your screen, you got to go get that thing fixed, right? And it's valuable to you. It keeps your life going, right? And so, okay, here's the next step. Take your phone out, go ahead and unlock it for me and hand it to the person next to you, right? Nobody going to do it? Okay, all right. I'm pushing some boundaries. Okay, now, you know why? Because it's not just that thing is valuable and has a monetary value to it. It's got important information, right? You don't want anybody to see. Teenagers, open up your Snapchats. Let's give that to your parents, right? No, that's not going to happen. It's got information in there that you are protecting that is valuable to you, or is protecting you from whatever is valuable, right? You protect what you love. And our hearts are the same way. Your heart is so valuable, especially to God. He wants you to protect it, to guard it above all else, for it's a source of life. And He knows that. He created you like that, that your heart would be a source of life. And you're going to have to protect it with something more durable. And our hearts, Jeremiah said, are deceptive above all else and majorly sick. And so we've got to protect it with something more durable. What's that thing that's more durable? It's the perfect example of Jesus Christ. That in Hebrews chapter 4, 15, 16 says, we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus is more durable than you or I will ever be. And so he's been tempted in every way and yet is without sin. And so when we take on Christ, when we give our hearts to him, however you want to say this, they are stronger than they were before. If you hadn't done that this morning, we're going to encourage you. If you've been walking with Jesus for a long time, or maybe a few months, however long, he wants you to grow stronger in him. How do you do that? How do you grow stronger? I heard this week, I was listening to a podcast, the pastor said, there's three ways people grow in their faith and grow stronger. The first way is personal Bible study. This is easy, simple stuff, personal Bible study. The Word of God is living and active. And when we take it on and study it, and memorize it, and say it aloud, whatever you got to do, it will change your heart and make you stronger, I promise. But just by yourself. You just try it by yourself, and that'll get you started. Personal Bible study makes people stronger. Second thing is small group community. Small group community strengthens your faith. When you surround yourself with people who love the Lord, it will make you love the Lord. When they're doing these things that maybe you don't understand, but things of the faith, and you might have to ask them, like, what does this mean, and how can I do this? You're growing stronger, but you got to do that in a community. If you hadn't joined a life group, this is a plug. Life groups are doing this for you, for a lot of people. And I would encourage you, and check those out for 2019 and take a step to get in one. The third thing is experiences. And you can't always influence experiences. I mean, I guess you can go on a mission trip. That creates an experience that will change your life. But experiences are a lot of times sudden. And so you have to be ready for them when they come at you. You kind of already have to be in the Word. Kind of already have to be in a small group community so that when those experiences do hit you, the storms of life if you're a busy person, get in the way of your busyness, right? When those experiences come at you, God brings you through those and makes you stronger. And so I would encourage you this next year, look at those. Look at personal Bible study. 5 minutes a day, start off 5 minutes a day for 5 days or whatever. Put yourself in a small group and be ready for those experiences. And you know, going back to Ephesians I referenced earlier, Paul gives this list of the armor of God, he calls it. And a lot of guys think that he's in prison, he's looking at the guard, a Roman soldier, and he's seeing these elements of the uniform that he's got on. And one of the things he says is that the body armor, the breastplate of righteousness, and you know, is protecting your heart. So he's saying in a way that righteousness protects your heart. And we know that Jesus is our righteousness. He died on the cross so that we could take on righteousness. And then from that point, we live righteously. And we create environments in our life that are righteous environments that push us to growth and strengthen our hearts in that. This year, are you guarding your heart above all else because it is the source of life? Or are you drained? Do we need to do something to give you some more life there, to give you a little boost and get you back? And let me say this too. Later down in verse 26, I read from the CSB earlier, but the ESV, I like the way it says it. It says, ponder the path of your feet, and all your ways will be sure. Ponder the path of your feet. Have you thought about the direction you're headed next year? And when he says, consider your path there, that the original language is almost like it's make level or balance out. It's almost like bulldoze the way through that thing. Let's create a path. Or are we walking on the edge in our life, and you know you're on the edge, and you need to maybe back off of that and consider the path that you're on and level things out. If you do that, it says your way will be sure. You commit to it now, then in the moment you're going to know these little decisions that you have to make. And is this right or wrong, or is this a good way or a bad way? That makes those decisions a lot easier there. So for 2019, I want to ask you, consider where you're going. Here's what I want to challenge you to do. You were handed a paper when you came in with some notes there. And on those notes, there's three things that I want you to do. And I know you probably don't have time here. I mean, by all means, stick around as long as you want to. If you need to, this is the place for you. But I want you to take that with you. And there's three things on there that I want you to do. The first thing is, I want you to write out the path or your desires for this next year. Write them out. Have you ever done this before? I'm not great at journaling down thoughts and this kind of thing. I'm not great at it. I want to get back to it. I did it back in college, and I was going to use one of those things that I wrote as an example, and I started reading through it and crying, and I thought, that's a bad idea. I better not do that. But you'd be amazed at how much you forget. I was reading back through some of that stuff, and I'd forgotten so much, but I'm glad that I wrote it down then so that I could remember and remember where I was then and where I've gotten to now. And so I would encourage you this year, you can start with this handout that we gave you this morning. Write out your desire and think big picture, okay? Don't be too small with this. Think big picture. I know I'm here and I know God wants me to be here. And, you know, I got to guard my heart and all this thing. And you might have to be specific with that. Don't just say, Lord, help me to grow closer to you, you know? You got to get a little more specific. The second thing is to pray and to write out your prayer in that. You know, if you're not praying for these things that you want God to do in your life or what you know God is leading you to, if you're not praying about it, I don't think you're taking it seriously enough. So you need to write out your prayers and continue to write out prayers that are pushing us towards these things that lead us in the way of righteousness. And then the next thing is, take a baby step. And I say it that way because don't get too drastic, okay? I know I heard some of you singing earlier. You're pretty good, but you don't need to email Blake and ask him if you can come sing up here next week. You know, that's just not how it works. You need to take a baby step, like record yourself singing in the car or something, and then listen to it, okay? And then, you know, there may be some tone stuff you need to work on. I don't know. Take a baby step in that. If you have never, going back to Bible study, if you've never opened up the Word in your own time, read it and studied it, this is your first step, okay? 5 minutes a day for 5 days, and then, you know, grow off of that. Go 10 minutes for 5 days, and, you know, keep building off of that. What is it? If you've never joined a life group, join a life group. And, you know, it's time. It's time. We as a church, we need you to be stronger. We're going to do all we can to push you in the way and draw closer to the Lord and strengthen you. And we're here to support you in whatever comes in your life. But we want you to be stronger. And sometimes that means we got to take off the training wheels. We want you to have the same joy that God wants you to have. So maybe we got to take off some of those training wheels. And take off, and you may need some guidance there, and God's right there with you, okay? He will never leave you. But you need that joy to be restored. Maybe we need to take a step and move that direction. We can't afford another year of just staying the same. And I know there's some of you. But you've been on a path of absolute destruction for a long time. And the path that you've been on, you've tried to find your way and just hadn't found anything that works. For whatever reason, you're here this morning and you're looking for a new path. And I prayed for you this week, specifically. I didn't know your name, but I prayed for you that God would draw you here and that you would hear this moment, that your path needs to change, and it can do that this morning. That you can jump on the path with Jesus. And if you do that, I can tell you that there's more than you will ever expect on that path. I'll put it that way. It's awesome. And so I'm encouraging you. That's your first step, is to draw near to Jesus. And we're going to have some guys right out here in what we call the Connect Center, just right outside these doors. And they'd love the chance to talk to you, to talk about what's going on in life and how to get you to understand what it means to follow Jesus, they would love the chance to talk to you. If that's you, we're glad you're here this morning. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to be dismissed. We hope y'all have a great New Year's, and we'll see you next year. Let's pray. Father, we are a fragile people, and our hearts, we know that we need help here. And so, Lord, this morning, we're going to draw near to you, and you draw near to us. And, Father, we just need you to cover us in that. Give us strength and for whenever the test comes, that we would we'd be able to stand firm in the faith in that. And, Father, as we consider the path for this next year, we lay it before you. We know you've got big things. We know you've got small things. We lay it all before you, and we trust you with every bit of it. We just want to be right where you are. And so for everybody here this morning, I pray that you'd bless them in that. For those here that need you and need to trust you for the first time, I pray that they would take that step. So, Lord, we're here for you. Thank you for meeting us this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.